But once again, let me just say good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
Isn't it a wonderful morning?
Yes, sir.
Isn't it a wonderful week?
Amen.
I hope that you all have enjoyed this incredible week, even half as much as I have, because I've just had an awesome, awesome week. And, you know, as I sat down this morning and I started thinking about why, you know, why is it that this week is so incredible and so awesome? And I just thought to myself, you know, because these are the 7 days in the history of mankind that not only defined who we are, but then went on to redefine who we are as well. 7 incredible days that accomplished all of that. And it's miraculous, to say the least, and I'm just completely awestruck by it. I know last week we started off by talking about last Sunday, Palm Sunday. We talked about the day that we remember how Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and he was publicly celebrated as the Messiah, publicly welcomed amongst praise and honor. And I shared with you from Mark 11, 8 through 10, some of these verses when it said, many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. What an incredible day. I mean, it was just an awesome, awesome time that was full of hope and excitement for the people of Israel. It was the day that the many and awesome and mighty promises of God were finally coming true. They were finally being fulfilled as Jesus came into Jerusalem on Sunday. But just 5 days later, those same voices that had cried out, Hosanna! Those same voices, this time bloodthirsty, this time just moved by an unreasonable hatred, were crying out, crucify him! Crucify him! On Friday night, and you've heard mention of it already, but we gathered together and we remembered. We remembered how God sent the perfect and innocent lamb, the perfect sacrifice for you and for me. We remembered a sacrifice that, we didn't remember a sacrifice. We remembered the sacrifice. The sacrifice that God gave for you and for me. It was a sacrifice that, believe it or not, was talked about 700 years before. 700 years before the manger. Before Bethlehem, a prophet named Isaiah said these words about this time that we were remembering. He said, he, meaning Jesus, he was despised and rejected by mankind. He was a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he, again, this surely Jesus took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. That brings us up to Friday. We started on Palm Sunday, all the way up to Friday, the crucifixion. Now, there's a small reprieve that happens on Saturday. The Jewish Sabbath is on Saturday. So for a day, there was a small reprieve in the account. And then we arrive on Sunday morning. Here we are today, Sunday morning, Easter Sunday. The body of Jesus had been in the grave now for 3 days. Understand that there was darkness, there was depression, and there was grief gripping the hearts of those who loved him, those who knew him, those who followed him. They were completely torn to pieces by what they were watching, by what had happened. They didn't know what to make of it. I can remember being very similar to that at one time. I can remember living a life just completely void of hope. I thought I knew what I wanted, but every time I got to it, guess what? You just want something else. Every time I reached one point, guess what? It wasn't enough. I had to go on for something else. And I was never satisfied. And eventually it just takes a toll on you. A lot of you know exactly what I'm talking about. A lot of you have spent your whole life in that place. Now here you are, Easter Sunday. Luke 24, you can follow along on the screen if you like, but I'd really encourage you to open your Bible so you can make some notes in it. But Luke 24, verses 1 through 10, recount the events of that Sunday. They recount the events that, quite honestly, changed everything. Beginning in verse 1, it says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was with you, still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. They walk out on Sunday morning. Here we are again. And on Sunday morning, just as dawn is breaking, it says again, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. That's basically Easter. That's pretty much Easter in a nutshell. But can I get a quick show of hands here? How many people here today have heard at least one Easter message similar to that before? Everybody. Everybody, right? So here's my dilemma. Here's what I've been struggling with now almost all week long. For some of you, you've not heard one or two. Some of you have heard 5 or 10 or 50 messages about Easter Sunday. Now, my dilemma is this. What can I give you today that's new, that's interesting, that's challenging? What kind of message can I challenge you with today that you can take home with you and do something with it? Well, I mean, what will I do? Well, here's the truth of it. I ain't got nothing for you. Nothing. I don't have anything to give you. There's a few guys just said, hey, short and simple, man, I like this church, you know. Let's get out of here. I'll see you next week, you know. But I don't have anything to give you today. Instead, this Easter Sunday 2011, I'm going to do something different. I want something from you today. This is my fourth Easter as a pastor. And every one I've given something. Well, today I want something. Today I want something from you. And this is what I want. I want from you what your response, what your reaction is to the empty tomb. You know, 2,000 years ago, there's something that's completely undeniable. And I don't care if you're a believer or not, okay? But it is completely undeniable that the tomb was empty. Not only does the Word of God establish that, okay? But there have been countless mountains of data and information and discoveries made that all support the same thing, that on that morning, the tomb was empty. Now, what happened is up for debate in some people's minds. But the fact that the tomb is empty is beyond question. It's been verified and acknowledged by just tremendous numbers of people. So today, let's just all take that and say, I believe that. But today, what is your response? What is your response to this empty tomb? How does it affect you? How does it change you? Maybe the better question is, does it affect you? Does it change you? The Bible and the scriptures we're going to look at today outlines at least 3 responses to the empty tomb that I want to share with you today, because to be completely honest with you, I think that most of us sitting in this room, we respond in at least one of these ways, if not 2 or 3 of them, actually. So consider with me these responses. And as we do, again, I want something from you. As we consider the responses we see in the Word of God, I want to know what your response is. I want to know how you are affected by the empty tomb. The passage from Luke that we were looking at says that the ladies found the tomb empty. They walked out in the morning, they found the tomb empty. You see this incredible encounter they have with the angels, and they race back. They race back to tell the apostles. You know, full steam. So they get back, and in John 20, we read about the same account. Okay, and in John 20 it says this: so she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Okay, can we just time out here for a second? I got to share with you this. The earlier manuscripts of that read something like, "Yeah, Peter had a head start on me, and I got this bum knee, but I still dusted the guy." You know, I mean, I guess there are some real benefits sometimes when you happen to write the gospel there. But don't look for that particular translation. You probably won't find it. But you have to take my word on that. The passage continues in verse 4. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And it says, John bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon, Peter, came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciple, this is John again, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. Here we go. He saw and believed. John saw and believed. Now, you kind of got to understand John a little bit to understand if this is your response as well. Okay? John, at the mere mention of hope, man, he's on fire. Something happened? Something's going. Man, I'm going. I'm going. And John takes off for the tomb at just the mere mention of hope. John, probably more than any other disciple, had real relationship with Jesus. I mean, Jesus was John's Lord, yes. He was John's teacher, yes. But he was also John's friend. And he was John's brother. When everyone else had fled and hid, when Jesus was arrested, guess what? John came back. John was there as Jesus was, as he stood accused of false accusations. John was there when the death sentence was handed down. John was there at the cross when Jesus was spiked to a cross. John was there holding the mother of Jesus, holding Mary, as she watched her son nailed to a Roman cross. John was there. John. Jesus was his friend. He was a brother. John loved him. And John was loved by him. And the word says that John saw, he saw the situation, and he believed. Some of you this morning, you're like John. Some of you have spent some time maybe studying the Word, considering the Word, reflecting upon the Word. And your response this morning when you arrive at the empty tomb is that you believe. You believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that he walked out of that tomb. You believe that today. Luke 24, now let's go on to a second response. Luke 24, verse 12, it shows us a more detailed account of Peter's arrival at the tomb. And it also shows us a second response from the Bible. It says this, and again, Luke chapter 24, verse 12. It says, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. We've heard this part. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away. Peter went away wondering to himself, what's happened? What's going on? I don't get it. See, now, Peter got to the tomb. He saw the same evidence that John did, walked right in, saw it all, and then he walked away. Walked away wondering to himself, what happened? Saw everything the same John did. John believed. Peter walked away. What happened? Maybe Maybe you don't respond like John sometimes. I don't all the time. Maybe sometimes we find ourselves responding like Peter. Probably, some of you here today, you've seen somebody in your life, a friend or a family member, who has been absolutely transformed by this church stuff. Right? You've seen that happen? You may not like it, but you've seen it happen. I mean, something's different. Something's going on. I don't get it, but something happened. It doesn't make any sense to me at all, but something happened. You know, I mean, some of you are sitting here today going, so, Tim, let me get this straight. You're telling me that a guy that I never knew died in a place that I've never even heard of for something that I'm not even sure that I did. Okay, and in response to that, you want me to give up sleeping in on Sunday, my only day off, wear clothes that I don't even like, and meet and greet people that don't even know my name. I mean, that's what we're asking you to do, right? It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, can I tell you something real quick? And I'm listen, this is probably when I got up this morning, this was like one of those weird days, because usually it takes me like all of 5 minutes to get ready for church, right? Okay, but today I was like, man, I don't know what to do. What am I going to wear? I mean, I got this one shirt. It doesn't match. I got to tell you something. This here, this really ain't me. Okay? I mean, I wish it was. And probably you guys would like to have a pastor where that's you, but that ain't me. You know, church stuff, I'm not interested in it. Church stuff doesn't interest me at all. You know, I hate to tell you, but I'm here for something real. I'm here for relationships. I'm here to be changed. And that tie and these shirts and the shoes, it doesn't do it for me. I don't even understand why we do it. You know? But I, you know, that's fine. That's just my own little thing. But that's not me. Peter, my wife told me to wear a tie. You're right. You're right. I want to share with you this, though. Hold on. Let me bring you guys back in for a second here, okay? If you want to take off your jacket, you're welcome to. All right. But let me bring you back in. I want to share with you this. That Peter's big mistake, all right, when he got to the tomb, again, he saw all the same things that John saw. But his big mistake was this. He walked away. He walked away. He had questions and doubts racing in his mind. Peter couldn't look in that tomb and deny that something had happened. You can't look at your friends and deny that something happened. You don't understand it, but Peter understood that something happened. He couldn't explain it away. I mean, there wasn't a logical explanation. But instead of staying, okay, instead of spending some time there and figuring it out, he walked away. Again, I think too many of us respond that way. Us. We respond that way. We just walk away when we don't get it. I heard it said this week that most people come to church three times in their lives. They come when they're hatched, they come when they're matched, and they come when they're dispatched. You know? I mean, is that true? Yeah. Because we don't get this stuff. We don't understand why, you know, what are we doing? It's supposed to be about relationships, about family. You know, we toss out words. We say, you know, are you born again? Are you redeemed? Resurrection, justified, baptism, heaven, hell, faith, eternal life. I don't get it. You know, let me tell you something. You're in good company. I don't get it either. Okay, I got a lot of questions myself. But if you want those questions answered today, if you're really serious about wanting to know what you're seeing, about what's going on, about what that change is in his life or her life, if you really want to understand that, here's my advice to you. Don't do like Peter. Don't walk away. Stick around. Spend some time. I'm not talking about spend time in this building. I'm surely not talking about spend time in uncomfortable clothes. I'm talking about spend time with God. I mean, how cool would that be? Just spend time with God. Spend time with some people of God. And I'm not talking about those people of God who are holier than thou art and just want to sit back and tell you how messed up you are. Okay? You guys met some of them? Yeah, I met a few too. All right? I'm not talking about those kind of people of God. I'm talking about real people. People who have real questions of their own. Anybody tells you, hey, I got it all figured out, they're lying to you. Okay, we all have questions. Spend time with real people with real questions who are walking in this real life with you and are facing the same real struggles that you're in right now. That's where you want to be. Don't walk away. Spend time. Spend time and look for it and search it out for yourself. Share your concerns. Share your doubts. Absolutely. Don't believe what I'm saying. Don't listen to what necessarily just what JW says. Don't listen to your preacher on TV. Find out for yourself. Go to the source. You know, you say, Tim, I don't understand the Bible. Okay, ask the guy who wrote it. He'll share it with you. He wants to talk to you about it. He doesn't care if you wear a tie. Okay, you can come just as you are. The cross of Jesus Christ. We've talked about it. What happened on Friday night. The cross of Jesus Christ. You know, guys, that gives you the ability and the honor to stand before God and to just share your heart and say, Lord, I don't get it. I don't get it, but I want to. So I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay here until I do. Don't make the same mistake Peter made. Don't walk away. Why? Well, if we continue on in the story here, understand that Peter left, John left, and there's just one person left. There's just one person left at the tomb that morning. You know who it was? Mary. Mary Magdalene was the only person left. And she stayed. And do you know why she stayed? Because she thought she lost something. She thought she lost something. And she was desperately looking for it. Desperate. Have you ever been desperate when you lose something? I'm not talking about lose your car keys. I'm talking about like you just lost your checkbook, you know, at Walmart or you know, something that you're desperate to find. I got to find it right now. You ever been there?
Yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday. Yeah. She was desperate, though. She was at the tomb and she wasn't going to leave because she thought she lost something and she had to find it. What did she lose? Well, she thought that she had lost the source of her freedom. If you know the story of Mary, Jesus Christ set her free. She was possessed by demons, and Jesus Christ set her free. And she thought she lost that. She thought she lost the source of her freedom. Mary thought that she lost the source of her peace. I mean, she was a tortured soul. And the only place that she ever found peace at was sitting at the feet of Jesus and just being with him. And she thought she had lost that. So she was desperately looking. She thought that she had lost the source of her forgiveness. Jesus not only cast the demons out of Mary, but Jesus freely offered forgiveness to Mary. I mean, what an awesome thing. Man, I'd be looking for that too. If I thought I had lost it. Simply put, Mary thought she had lost Jesus. She didn't know where he was. And she was desperately looking for him. But unlike Peter, guess what? Mary wasn't going anywhere. She wasn't going to leave that place until she found what she was looking for. In John 20, getting back to our passage here, beginning in verse 11, it says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They've taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.'" Some of us respond like John. Some of us respond like Peter. I wonder this morning how many of us respond like Mary. This morning, are you facing real loss in your life? I don't know. I don't know you for the most part. I don't know what kind of loss you've experienced. But honestly, are you there right now? Are you facing real loss in your life right now? Is the weight of your struggle, is it beginning to press down on you? Are you beginning to not be able to move anyway because it's just so heavy? Do you find yourself this morning desperate? Desperate for any kind of relief? Just anything? Maybe this morning when you got up, if you were honest with me, you would tell me, Tim, I don't even like who I saw in the mirror. I don't even like that person. Maybe you've decided that today something has to change. Something has to change. I'm not going forward anymore until something changes. Maybe that's where you are today. What does the world keep telling us? Just keep pressing on. Just keep going. Keep going on. You'll make it. You'll get there eventually. But what does God say to us? God says, be still. God says, child, be still and know that I am God. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what your struggles are today. But I wonder today how many of us respond like Mary does. Returning to verse 14, again it says picking up in verse 14, it says, at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go get him. I got to tell you, I believe her. I think Mary would have walked right up to Pilate. I think Mary would have walked right up to the armies of Rome, if necessary, to get her Savior, to get the body of her Lord Jesus. I don't think anything was going to stop her. I have no doubt that this little woman would have carried him back in her own arms, no matter what the cost. I don't doubt that for a moment. But then we read Jesus' response. One word. Jesus said to her, Mary. One word. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. One word is all she needed to hear. One word, and she knew exactly who that was. She hadn't lost him after all. He was right there. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father. This is beautiful. I am ascending to my Father and your Father. I am going to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. Church, this morning, I hope in some little way we all respond like Mary. I hope in some way we all have that kind of response to the empty tomb. I hope that we're desperate. I hope that when we see that tomb and we identify that we had that loss in our lives, that we're not willing to leave. Until we find it. Until we find him. I hope this morning that you are absolutely unwilling to accept anything less. Absolutely. I will not accept anything less than absolute real freedom, real peace, and real forgiveness that comes only by the blood of Jesus Christ. I hope you're at that place today. I hope you're like Mary. Don't accept a substitute. There's plenty of them. Drugs, alcohol, sexual sin, gambling, depression, financial concerns, health problems. Boy, all those things talk to us pretty loud, don't they? Sometimes they feel like they're screaming in our ear, don't they? You're right there with them right now, and that's all you can hear. Well, let me tell you this. Don't leave this morning until, in place of that screaming in your ear, you hear the roar of the Lion of Judah speaking into your life. Don't leave this morning without it, because it will change everything. Don't be overcome this morning. Know that your God has overcome. Don't be drugged down this morning by all these chains. We sang about it earlier. That's not just a song, that's a truth. Jesus Christ has set you free. Don't walk away. Instead, find a place at the foot of the cross. Find your place and spend some time. Respond by spending some time with God. I told you this morning, one thing is very clear. 2,000 years ago, The tomb was empty. The tomb was empty. I tell you this in all assurance. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Today, he is a risen king. Risen, alive, active in the world today. You serve an awesome God. Those are the facts. Now, my question is this. How will you respond? What's your response? That's what I want from you today. What is your response? Will you stand with me today? Easter morning, 2011. What a wonderful day. We've just seen the tomb is empty. Christ is risen. Will you respond like John? Do you believe? Will you respond in doubt like Peter? Will you walk away? Or like Mary? Will you say, I'm not going anywhere until I get what I'm here for? I hope we all respond like that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning. Lord, I want to thank you just, Lord, for deciding to step down from your throne. Lord, deciding to step down from eternal glory, eternal grace. Lord, you were served by thousands and thousands upon thousands of angels through all of eternity. And you stepped down from that to this place. Father, you stepped down to us to walk among us. To put upon flesh and to feel our pain and to share our burdens. Father, I thank you for that. Lord, you walked 33 years on a straight path to the cross. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you that as you hung upon that cross, you could have called down 10,000 angels to pull you down from that cross, to take you down. To stop the shame, to stop the disgrace. But instead, you stayed. You stayed because you love me. You stayed because you love each person. Father, thank you. Lord, I thank you that on the third day, on Easter Sunday, Father, I thank you that the gates of hell could not hold you down. Lord, I thank you that you crashed through the gates of hell, that you set the captives free. And Father, that's freedom that we can live in today. Thank you. Lord, I pray now, as we stand together, Lord, as your people, as your children, Father, move us, change us. Lord, show us the kind of response we should have to the empty tomb. Lord, encourage us. Grow us. Father, make us your people and be our God. Lord, I thank you. Churches, every eye remains closed and every head still bowed. You're going to find, if you stay here any length of time, that my heart here is not to just preach some eloquent sermon. My heart here is to see your life changed. If today you don't want to leave here without change, if today you're tired of what you're dealing in, you're tired of what you're going through, you're ready for something different, today is the day. Jesus Christ is risen, and he is here today, and salvation has come to this place today. That's a wonderful thing. I'd encourage you today, if that's you, as we close out, with a brief song, respond. You don't have to respond at the steps of this altar, but respond. Be honest with your God right where you are. And if this morning you say, I need help, then you step forward and you will find men and women in this church who will absolutely assist you. They will pray with you. They will share with you. They will help bear that burden for you. And together you can lay it down at the foot of the cross. And walk out of here free, with real freedom, with real peace. I encourage you today, respond.